basically live four people in one basement, in a two-room basement, but I don't have a window in my basement. I know how I live there because we can't have a proper oxygen, not oxygen, not proper ventilation and everything. It's too difficult.
As the housing crisis continues across this country, Brampton, Ontario is cracking down on illegal housing. The city, northwest of Toronto, has seen a lot of international students move in, and they often live in cramped and even unsafe conditions. The Current's producer, Joanna Dragici, went to Brampton to speak with residents, including students living in crowded, expensive housing.
Everything is common. We need to be common. We can't have any privacy for even if we need to talk at back home to our parents and everything. We don't have our own privacy. That's the clear thing. The last option is just to move to other province to get yourself survive. Nothing else. It's clear.
How much do you pay?
We pay around, if I say it, cost me around 1300-1400 monthly.
You?
Yeah.
Alone?
Yeah.
To share a room?
Yeah.
Do you live together?
Yeah, we just live in the same room. Yeah, on a single bed. That the prices are very high here for the grocery, for the housing, for the rent, for the college. And now we have to just submit our fees again. And there is no work, so how we can submit that? So this is a very worse condition here, especially in Brampton.
I'm living with my two friends in the same room. And so actually we are living three people in one room.
How is that?
It's kind of nice, but firstly it was very difficult to live, but slowly it becomes a habit to live, so it's just going nice now.
How much does it cost?
It costs around $400 per month, so we are giving it, and it's like okay for me now.
How many people in the house?
In the house, actually we are living in the basement, so I don't know that how many people are living up in the like ground floor, but in the basement we are living five people.
Five people in one basement?
Yeah, three people in one room and two people in another room.
Some neighbors say the crowded homes mean more traffic, more noise, more garbage, and so a few upset homeowners in one neighborhood took Joanna on a tour.
I'm going to take you now down a street where there's going to be five rooming houses. And it's very obvious to see. You're going to see garbage everywhere. All five of those homes are owned by corporations, numbered accounts. I've done my research. I've gone to City Hall in the kiosk. I looked it up. They're owned by corporations. And so I kind of tracked down some of the owners. These people live in gated communities. They live in beautiful, big homes. And they own multiple properties. This is a business for them.
They're on a street with single-family homes, mature trees, and a neighborhood called Peel Village. Cynthia says these crowded homes are part of what she calls Brampton's decay. She doesn't want to give her last name because she says tensions are high. Her neighbor and friend, Nancy Candido, was born and raised in this neighborhood.
These houses are being bought by investors. They are basically having, you know, 15, 18, 20, 25 kids living in these homes. You know, we're seeing through windows. We're seeing dressers in the living rooms. We're seeing mattresses on the kitchen floors. We're seeing Uber Eats come to their house 30, 40 times a day. The speeding, the number of cars, it's crazy. It is crazy what is happening here. It's no longer a family home. They don't care for the properties. The landlords are absent. You know, this is not what our community is about. Our community is about looking out for each other, and it's sad to see what's happening.
Cynthia and Nancy say there has been conflict with the new neighbors.
I have a rooming house two doors down, and we had a lot of conflict for about a year. And it was my husband who invited, there's like 15 of them living in the house. And my husband invited the two main guys to come over in our backyard for like a beer, just to kind of lay down the rules of our street, which is clean up the garbage, please, you know, be respectful, don't blast music late at night, we have young kids. So since that point, we're good. We're good with each other.
Totally opposite with us. Said to one of the neighbors who I've had multiple conversations with, you know, you drive down the street too fast. Nobody needs to hear your music at 7:45 in the morning or 8:45 at night. I said to him, I've lived in this home almost 25 years and I've never had to speak to any of my neighbors the amount of times I've had to speak to you.
Brampton is a flashpoint in the debate over housing, especially for international students. As we heard last week on this program, the mayor of that city, Patrick Brown, estimates that there are about 30,000 illegal rooming house units in the city of Brampton. And so the city started a pilot program to require landlords to be licensed. It proved controversial. That pilot program was paused, though now the city wants to start it back up. Ravi Sohal is a realtor. He owns a realty property in Brampton. Ravi, good morning.
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for having me.
How difficult is it to find affordable housing in Brampton right now, especially rental housing?
Finding out the housing problem is not just the Brampton problem, right? So it is the problem all across the country. So the similarly, Brampton is not left alone because Brampton also has a problem where the housing crises are.
But in Brampton, as we heard from the mayor, we heard this on the program last week, there are something like 30,000 illegal rooming house units. And so the city put together this pilot program to require those landlords to be licensed. You started a petition to stop those regulations. Why is that not a good idea to have those landlords licensed?
It's a very good question, Matt. So health and safety is a very vital factor across the city, and it's all over the Canada as well, right? And which should not be compromised. And even in our petitions, because which we are reflecting that, illegal basement has to be cracked down and the health and safety should not be compromised. However, this rental licensing program, how it was designed, and it has a conflict with the Residential Tenancy Act. It has a conflict with the Municipal Act. It has a problem with the total conflict with the Human Rights Commission guidelines as well. So, I mean, we are the legal dwelling owners, and we do not support the overcrowding and illegal basement being as a petitioner. So, however, because how this program is designed, and it is putting the legal landlords into such positions. On the January 1st, when this program was launched, it was only targeting the legal dwellings, right? It was only the person who has the legal dwelling only can go and register for the rental program. However, it was how the requirements was coming in this program. That was our main concern, because we are not denying the fact that because there is an issue, the issue has to be addressed.
Right.
However, the reason of the petition is totally, completely different. It is regarding how this RRL program is launched and what are the problems of how it is designed.
Let me stop you there. I mean, help me understand this, because as we just heard from the students, but we've also heard this on this program last week from the mayor, that students are being taken advantage of. You have neighbors who are complaining. Why shouldn't landlords be subject to inspections that would ensure that the apartments that they're renting out to students are actually up to code?
Oh, nobody is denying that, because right now, because the problem is that this program is asking for without notice inspections, right? Because we are asking the city that, because there is a clause was added, program was asking landlords to give the consent so that the city can come and do the without notice inspection. But that's a one leg, right, of the contract between the homeowner and the city. But there is a Residential Tenancy Act, because tenant is living there. This is a rental unit. If the tenant is living there, should not we ask, give the enough notice to the landlord, to the tenant before giving the inspection? Mm-hmm. I think this is not a fair for that. This is a totally breach of the privacy. My consent as a homeowner does not make any precedence, because when tenant is living there, tenant consent is also required. We are asking, we are happy to give them the privilege to the city to do the inspection, and that is what the city is already doing under the existing bylaws.
You said that this is also a violation of the Human Rights Code. This isn't about saying who can live with somebody else and which would be protected by the Human Rights Code, who can have roommates, what have you. You're suggesting that this violates that Human Rights Code because of the number of roommates. How is that a violation of the Human Rights Code?
Even in the tele town hall, because there was a one person was saying that because I have rented out the X number of the people to our unit, but there is without my consent, the extra people are living. When we are going to the landlord and tenant board and asking that because we need to be, we want to be evict a tenant, because landlord and tenant board is denying that because they have the right to share the room, and that is not the actual reason for the evictions. If we are referring to the Human Rights Code, we have to be referred back to the Ontario Human Rights Commission's guidelines, which is a room for everyone, human rights and rental licensing. In that document, it is clearly mentioned that, I mean, whenever whoever is sharing the room with anyone else, that person has a right to share the room. And being as a landlord and the city, we cannot scrutinize our tenants to asking that what is their marital status and whom with they are sharing.
Do you think that there's a problem with people living 15 people to a single family home? People with five people in a bed in a basement? People renting a kitchen floor to sleep on? Is that a problem?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this problem has to be addressed, right? Because right now we are putting that the nation's problem on the landlord. It only the landlord is not responsible for that, right? Landlord is making that the provision. It's helping out there. Right now the people are living into the tents. Is the tent is the safer situation? Because how this the country is in that situation.
Who should be responsible then? If it's not the landlord, who should be responsible?
It is like, because every single tier of the government and including the homeowners, I'm not saying that the landlord is not responsible, but there is also responsibility of the city. There is this problem, the responsibility of the provincial government, what policies they are putting into the place, and also the federal government's problems. What kind of when there is the overpopulation is happening into the specific city, because do they have the enough homes built? Do they have the place of living, or the people are simply coming into the country and there is no place to live and the people are forced to be live into the tents? And in this situation, because I'm here from the long time, because I was never dreamed of this size of the Canada the situation is that. I hate the situation where these people are going through that. Health and safety should not be compromised. Whoever in Canada has a reputation, and every single person should be living with the dignity.
Ravi Sohal, we'll leave it there with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Ravi Sohal is a realtor and a property owner in Brampton. Rowena Santos is a counselor in Brampton on the city council. She's been pushing for this crackdown for bad landlords and has been listening. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Matt.
How many complaints is the city getting over these sorts of crowding housing arrangements? We heard from Cynthia and Nancy earlier talking about what they see on the streets that they live on. What sort of complaints is the city getting?
We've been getting thousands of complaints in lead up to actually inspiring this pilot to happen. These complaints started even well before my first term started in 2018. And one of the ways that we've been trying to deal with it in the past was actually creating a registration program for folks who are interested in renovating their units or their homes to accommodate a secondary unit. Now, that registration program, which Ravi is referring to as the legalization of units, is only a one-time thing and doesn't necessarily control or doesn't necessarily deal with the issues that we've been trying to address.
The issues are, and we heard this from the mayor, he said there's something like 30,000, as many as 30,000 illegal rooming house units in the city. He says that there are situations with as many as 25 students crowded into one home. What have you heard in terms of the conditions that students are forced to live in?
Well, like some of the folks who were on the radio earlier, they're fire traps. One of the biggest issues that we have are the health and safety and fire code concerns. We've seen too many fires in the area where illegal units, and sometimes in cases registered units, where there are too many people living in these apartments in neighborhoods and causing fire traps in situations where people have no windows to escape. And health and safety, as well as property standards, is the responsibility of the city to actually uphold. And this licensing program tries to address that in more of a proactive way.
Whose responsibility is it? Because you just heard Ravi say that the regulations aren't necessary, that he thinks they're particularly onerous on legal landlords.
Yeah, so I'm going to point back to the fact that in many cases, when you register a unit, that's a one-time registration, and you're agreeing that, and you send in your certification that your unit meets fire code, electricity code, gas codes. But there's no way after that to determine whether or not there's a transfer of ownership. there's also no way after that to determine whether or not you are renting out the property. So the licensing landlords program actually reminds landlords on a yearly basis that they must uphold and operate with a set of rules. And if there are any further complaints, then we can have escalating fines. It actually creates more of a tool for accountability for the health and safety and also the property standards of that property itself.
There are a lot of people who are blaming what we're seeing right now. And this is part of the housing crisis that's going on across the country, but they're blaming what's happening in Brampton and the situation that you've been describing, in particular on the number of international students that are allowed in. How fair do you think that is?
Yeah, so the city of Brampton, and what's interesting is this landlord licensing program does go hand in hand with the international student issue that we have in Brampton. And certainly we've always had a lot of international students come into the city of Brampton. And over the past 2.5 years, we've been working with our local post-secondary institutions like Sheridan, Algoma U, Trios College, in developing an international student charter to work with those partners to develop housing plans, to make sure we have enough mental health and social supports for these international students. Mm. Our challenge is that recently we've lost control over those institutions that are outside of our boundaries.
What do you mean?
So colleges like Conestoga College, for example, who has recently registered 30,000 international students. Because of the online learning platforms now available, many of those international students don't live in Kitchener. They actually live in Brampton, and they commute from Brampton to Kitchener, or they have online learning classes. Our other challenge is the private colleges, of which there are over 70 of them in Brampton, who are even less regulated than the public post-secondary institutions. And we actually don't even know how many in Brampton international students are attending private colleges. So some of the population issues for international students are not generated by those institutions here in Brampton, but outside of Brampton and the private colleges.
I'd heard that, I mean, there are some students, you mentioned, you know, students commuting or studying in schools in Kitchener, that there were students who were living in Brampton who might be attending schools or at the very least enrolled in schools in Northern Ontario.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, the election in 2022, I went canvassing door to door and witnessed with my own eyes the number of students living in existing neighborhoods, overcrowded, seeing mattresses on the inside and asking them, what school do you go to? Some of them in Thunder Bay, some of them in Montreal, some of them in Windsor, Kitchener. And so when we don't have those direct partnerships with those post-secondary institutions and there's no way of tracking the data, then how can we better serve this population, especially when they're using our services in the city of Brampton that property taxpayers are paying for? Many of these landlords, slum landlords, negligent landlords are exploiting the problem we have here in Brampton, exploiting the housing crisis we have here across the country, and creating an underground market in order to really profit.
So in the last minute or so that we have, what do you do about that? If the landlords are pushing back and saying that the pilot program meant to regulate them in some ways and license them is onerous, the students are still coming. There's this cap on international students, but students are still here. They're still coming. What do you do about this to ensure that those students are living in places that aren't fire traps, as you say?
Yeah, so this is what the point of the licensing landlords pilot program is about, is to hold landlords accountable on an annual basis, making sure that they understand the rules in terms of operating, and also partnering with our post-secondary institutions with the landlord licensing program so that they can actually find places where their students can rent that are safe based on the licensing program. We are trying to be much more proactive and also deal with many of the concerns in the existing neighborhoods where property standards are being violated.
And it speaks to, I mean, again, we talk about the housing crisis. I said earlier, this is the sharp edge of the housing crisis. That's what it seems like in many ways.
It absolutely is. And as always, Brampton is always trying to find solutions to deal with such problems that are reflected across the entire country. And, you know, I think working with our post-secondary partners is also going to enable them to develop more housing as well.
We will watch and see whether that actually happens. Rowena Santos, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Rowena Santos is a counselor on Brampton City Council.